Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Jay Powell weighs in on the economy, inflation, and Fed policy.
Senators say they're getting close to a bipartisan deal on infrastructure.
Worrying signs in the South as the COVID Delta variant spreads.
And global finance centers struggle to get workers back to the office.
It's primary election day in New York City, plus the Democrats' elections and voting bill will face a key Senate test vote today. I'm Michael Vaughn. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Islanders lost Game 5 at Tampa Bay, 8-0, and the Mets and Braves split a doubleheader.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 31, NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.47%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.24%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 58 cents at $73.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.80 at $17.80.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1886 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, the S&P 500 is coming off its biggest jump in a month. There is optimism that the Fed will tighten policy at a gradual pace. And today, investors will be looking for more guidance when Fed Chair Jay Powell testifies to a House subcommittee. More from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
In prepared remarks, Powell says inflation had picked up, but it should move back toward the Fed's 2% target once supply imbalances resolve. His text points to transitory supply effects like higher oil prices and a rebound in spending. And Powell says as the supply effects abate, inflation is expected to drop back toward the Fed's longer-run goal. Powell will also voice optimism on the outlook for employment. He'll say job gains should pick up in the coming months as vaccinations rise. That will ease some of the pandemic-related factors currently weighing them down. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thank you. Billionaire investor Ray Dalio is also weighing in on inflation. The co-founder of Bridgewater Associates says the U.S. is headed for a period of inflation and overheating that could threaten the recovery. And that puts the Fed in a difficult position.
You saw the reaction in the markets when the Fed just even hinted at tightening. I don't think they can tighten a lot without having a big negative effect.
Dalio made the comments at the Qatar Economic Forum in Doha. Stay tuned for more on Fed policy coming up this morning when we speak live with New York Fed President John Williams. That conversation comes at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And while Chair Powell testifies in the House, senators continue work on a bipartisan infrastructure bill. Lawmakers say they're getting close to a deal. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Lawmakers say they're moving closer to an agreement on a proposal, but they still have to figure out how to pay for it. The White House does not support a plan to index the gasoline tax to inflation, rendering that all but dead. And there is debate over whether taxing the very wealthy would bring in enough money to fund the plan. Senators hope to meet with White House officials today to come up with a more fleshed out proposal this week. Meanwhile, President Biden met with moderate Democrats Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Manchin and other moderates have so far refused to commit to supporting the bill. But that meeting has progressives worried that the president's giving away too much in search of a compromise. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, there are troubling signs in some parts of the U.S. The Delta variant appears to be spreading quickly in unvaccinated parts of the South. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the very latest.
The genomics firm Helix analyzed 20,000 samples in 700 counties and says if the trend continues, there'll be more surges. Dr. Kerry Elthoff at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Medicine says more evidence of vaccine works.
After first dose, the vaccines have about 33% effectiveness against COVID illness.
After the second dose, about 88% efficacy. Now, Dr. Elthoff says where people aren't being vaccinated, it allows the virus to thrive. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. It's been roughly 15 months since the start of COVID lockdowns, and the journey back to the office is shaping up to be slow and indirect for the world's financial centers. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Several of the world's key financial centers are struggling to get back employees back in their desks. Data from Google tracking locations of its users show workplace activity here in New York, in San Francisco, and in London is still 50% below normal. Other evidence from Frankfurt, Singapore, and Hong Kong reveals how virus-related restrictions have changed habits and caused new problems. Read more about the issue in today's Big Take from Bloomberg News. Full analysis and details online at Bloomberg.com. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Turning to the markets now. So far, the week has started with wild swings in stocks. Yesterday, Asian equities had their worst loss in a month. Today, they're posting the best gain in a month. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Japanese equities rose by the most in a year. The topic's up 3.2%. China's CSI 300 gained 0.6%, and the yuan rose for the first time in 4 days. The rise in oil prices boosted Australia's energy players. The ASX 200 posting its best one-day gain since March. And South Korea's won rebounded from a three-month low to lead gains amongst Asian FX. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. As you mentioned, oil was climbing overnight. Brent hit $75 a barrel for the first time in more than 2 years, but now it's giving up those gains. Still, Bank of America thinks crude may surge to $100 as soon as next year. Checking prices now, Brent is at $74.45. That's a drop of 0.6%. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 0.8% at $73.08.
ExxonMobil downsizing. Bloomberg News has learned the oil giant is preparing to reduce headcount at its U.S. offices by 5 to 10% annually. That reduction is expected to happen over the next 3 to 5 years. Sources say the cuts will target low-rated employees and will not be characterized as layoffs.
Google is under fire from the EU this morning. The European Commission has launched a new antitrust probe into the company's advertising technology. The investigation will assess whether Google favors its own online advertising technologies over rivals. S&P futures little change now. Dow futures up 10 points. NASDAQ futures down 5. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Big story in New York this morning, of course, the election, Michael.
You are correct, Nathan. It is primary day in New York City, and this election is the first to pick a mayor by ranked choice voting. Eric Friedman is the Assistant Executive Director for Public Affairs at New York City's Campaign Finance Board.
New York City voters have the opportunity to rank up to 5 candidates on their ballot. Instead of, in the old-style primaries, ranking just one.
Friedman says it gives voters more of a say on who ends up winning elections. In the Democratic primary, 13 candidates are running, including Catherine Garcia. The former sanitation chief spoke on CNN last night.
Look, I've run a uniform agency. I understand what it takes to motivate people who are part of the uniformed services in the city of New York. I've done that. I actually got endorsed by my union, which is unusual for labor and management to get along that well.
Garcia, along with the other candidates, are chasing frontrunner Eric Adams. For the Republicans, only 2 candidates are running. The founder of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa, picked up an endorsement. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani gave his support.
Someday New Yorkers will wake up and not be stupid, and they'll say, we're going to vote for the man, not the party. The man to vote for, by and away, is Curtis Sliwa.
Giuliani says Democrats have had control for too long. Sliwa is running against small business owner Fernando Mateo. Live coverage of the mayoral debate begins at 7 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. The Senate is expected to vote on whether to open debate on a voting rights bill today. The vote is expected to fail without 10 Republicans willing to support it. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Senate Democrats entered June with an agenda that was designed to fail. The Democratic leader planned votes on a host of the left's most radical priorities.
McConnell called it a partisan power grab. The Trump Organization sued New York City, claiming it wrongfully terminated its contract to operate the Ferry Point Golf Course in the Bronx. The city ended $17 million worth of contracts with former President Donald Trump's company after the January 6th assault on the Capitol in Washington. Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib made history by becoming the first active player in the NFL to publicly announce that he is gay. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
All right, Nathan, the Islanders are going for their third straight Game 5 win on the road. They won in Pittsburgh to go up 3-2, then did the same thing in Boston. But at Tampa Bay, the Lightning scored in the opening minute, got two more first-period goals, the first time all year that the Islanders trailed 3-0 after the first period of the game. Three more goals in the second period, and 8-0. Game 5 whitewash puts the defending Stanley Cup champs ahead 3-2 with Game 6 tomorrow. Unless the Islanders win that game and then Game 7, tomorrow's game will be the last one they ever play at the Nassau Coliseum. Mets and Braves played a pair of 7-inning games at Citi Field. Jacob deGrom on the mound in the opener. Typical day for him. He allowed only one hit. And the Mets got a big hit in the 5th inning.
Pitch. Smith lines it down the right field line. That is a fair ball. Base hit going into the corner. It should clear the bases. Nito is in. McNeil is in. Racing for the plate. VR. He will score without a throw. And on at second with a three-run double is Dominic Smith. And the Mets have opened up a 4-0 lead.
He called WCBS. 4-2 was the final as DeGrom lowered his microscopic ERA to 0.50. He's the first pitcher in baseball history to go 12 starts without allowing as much as two earned runs. Braves did get the split. They took the nightcap 1-0. A win for Arizona to end a 17-game losing streak. Now the Diamondbacks will try to end their Major League record 23-game road losing streak. Eli Manning boasted that he now has an office at MetLife Stadium. The Giants have hired him to work in team business and fan engagement. The Giants announced they will retire Eli's number 10 on September 26th. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures little changed right now. Dow futures up 14. NASDAQ futures down 7. Ahead of Powell's testimony this afternoon, we check in next on these markets with Patrick Armstrong of Plurimi Wealth. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, scattered showers and storms for one more day, going up to near 80 degrees. Sunshine returns tomorrow and stays with us into Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Currently 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures little change this morning. Investors weighing the prospects for economic growth against inflation worries. This all ahead of testimony from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. Treasuries, they're inching a bit higher right now. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures, again, little change, down a point. Dow futures also down a point, and NASDAQ futures down 8. The DAX in Germany is down less than a tenth of a percent. The 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield now 1.47%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.24%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 37 cents at $73.29 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $17.82.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1889 against the dollar. British pound 1.3874 and the yen at 110.43. And checking Bitcoin this morning at $31,315. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The Senate is expected to vote on whether to open debate on a voting rights bill today. That vote is expected to fail without 10 Republicans willing to support it. Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, has dismissed prospects for early resumption of diplomacy with the U.S., saying the United States' expectations for talks would, quote, plunge them into a greater disappointment. In the NHL, the Islanders are on the brink of elimination in the Stanley Cup semifinals. New York was routed by the Lightning, 8-0 in Game 5. In Major League Baseball, the Mets split a doubleheader against the Braves. The Orioles and A's lost. In the NFL, Carl Nassib publicly announced that he is gay. The Raiders defensive end is the first active player in league history to come out. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a look at what's happening in these markets this morning. Patrick Armstrong is back with us, Chief Investment Officer at Plurimi Wealth. Patrick, it's great to have you back on Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming off a day for the S&P 500 that saw its biggest gain in a month after all the losses of last week this morning, kind of in wait-and-see mode. What do you make of this market today?
Yeah, I think the market got a bit too spooked by the dots at the end of last week that interest rate rises of 0.5% 2 years down the line, I don't think should really be changing too many people's calculus on what equities are worth. Bond yields moved lower as well, basically pricing in that the Fed was going to engineer a recession almost at some point in the future rather than just look through inflation as transitory. So I do think the markets overreacted at the end of last week. Markets got some of that back yesterday. For me, the reflation trade still makes a lot of sense. I think economic growth is very high. Interest rates are still significantly below where inflation is going to average over the next decade. And to me, that means investors are going to want to put their capital to work, probably putting that in risk assets like equities.
So do you think that some of the steepening that we're seeing in the Treasury yield curve this morning is a signal that maybe the bond market thinks it might have overreacted as well?
Yes, and I suspect Powell won't be happy with the bond market's reaction. I think he thought it was going to be a non-event, and the flattening of the yield curve, the 30-year moving below 2% yesterday morning, that's not what he will have wanted to provoke, because the last year he's been trying to create a reflationary backdrop for the economy, and the bond market was pricing in a future deflationary backdrop. So I think his narrative will really stress that prices are rising right now, but we're really going to look through it. Even if prices continue to rise, we're going to keep very accommodative policy, and I think that'll probably provoke some steepening. That's what I expect from him anyway.
Do you expect any further changes to the messaging from Powell when he appears before the House subcommittee later this afternoon?
I suspect Powell is one of the dots that didn't have a hike in 2023, and he'll really stress that inflation will be there. It's transitory. We're going to look through it. Even if it does persist for a little bit longer, we're going to keep accommodative policy. And I think that's the message he'll want to stress. And I don't think that's a change of policy from him, but that's a change from what the market was viewing the dots having meant at the end of last week.
So if you're looking for more room for the reflation trade, Patrick, what sectors particularly are you looking at to outperform?
It's a range of sectors right now. We've added gold for the first time since October, just at the beginning of this week. We bought Barrick Gold, so I'm liking some of the mining companies, the precious metals right now again. The vaccine companies, to me, still make great sense. Moderna, BioNTech, very cheap on earnings, and those earnings and revenues are going to continue to grow. I don't think it's going to be everyone gets vaccinated and then they're done. I think it's going to be a decade of booster shots and new vaccines that these kind of companies using their new technologies will create. So those are probably my two preferred plays right now.
Okay, so if you're looking at gold as a play right now, what about Bitcoin? There are some, obviously, who think of digital currency as digital gold. Do you put a second look at cryptocurrency in this environment?
I don't think I'll ever be a Bitcoin investor. I've thought about it a lot. I've looked at it a lot, and its use, it's not a store of value. It's a speculative investment that people buy hoping it's going to go higher. People invest in gold hoping it's going to go higher sometimes, but the real reason to own gold is you buy it and hope it doesn't go higher because probably something's gone wrong, and that's what leads to gold going higher. Bitcoin isn't used for transactional purposes, so for me, it's not just something I'll ever feel comfortable in because I just don't think the intrinsic value is there. And I think regulations and governments aren't going to allow Bitcoin to achieve the end game that the real bulls are hoping for.
All right. So in our last 30 seconds here, Patrick, what's the main message you're looking for from Chairman Powell today?
I think I'm almost positive it'll be a very dovish message that the economy, he's going to let it run hot. The dots are 2 years off. No one knows what the dots will be by the time we get to 2 years. He stresses don't even look at the dots too much. So I think he'll say that again. And he's going to stress that the foot eventually is going to come off the accelerator, but we're taking it off very slowly. So the economy, it's going to be very stimulative policy, and I think that'll be the message he just keeps saying throughout the testimony.
All right. Thank you for this, Patrick. Again, great having you on with us. Patrick Armstrong is Chief Investment Officer at Plurimi Wealth. And as we take a look at the markets ahead of the open, little change to the downside for equity futures, with S&P futures right now down just 3 points. Dow futures down 20. NASDAQ futures lower by 9 points. Pick up in the Treasury markets. The 10-year Treasury is up 5/32. The yield 1.47%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, scattered showers and storms today, going up to near 80 degrees, but sunshine's back tomorrow and the next day. Both days, upper 70s. Currently, 73 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little change this morning, a day after the S&P 500 had its biggest gain in a month. Investors are weighing prospects for economic growth against inflation ahead of testimony from Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell. Karen Ward is Chief Market Strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management.
The central banks are right to acknowledge that the balance of risks has shifted and to ease their foot off the accelerator. But they're not going to be in any hurry. I mean, I think my interpretation is they will probably end up being too late and therefore actually be slower but have to do more in the longer run.
J.P. Morgan Chief Market Strategist Karen Ward says she favors financial stocks going forward.
Well, Jay Powell's testimony isn't the only big event in Washington today. A bipartisan group of senators says they're near agreement on an infrastructure plan. However, they're still wrangling with how to pay for it. The White House pushed back against a move to index the gasoline tax to inflation.
As the pandemic wanes, the journey back to the office is shaping up to be slow and indirect. Several of the globe's key financial centers are struggling to get employees back to their desks. And we get the story live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, several of the world's key financial centers are struggling to get employees back to the office. Data from Google tracking locations of its users show workplace activity here in New York, in San Francisco, and in London is still 50% below normal. Other evidence from Frankfurt, Singapore, and Hong Kong reveals how virus-related restrictions have changed habits and caused new problems. Read more about the issue in today's Big Take from Bloomberg News. Full analysis and details online are at Bloomberg.com. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And as the return to the office push continues, there could be some desks opening up at ExxonMobil. Bloomberg News has learned the oil giant is preparing to reduce headcount at its U.S. offices by 5 to 10% annually. That reduction is expected to happen over the next 3 to 5 years. Sources say the cuts at Exxon will target low-rated employees and will not be characterized as layoffs.
And futures this morning are little change to lower. S&P futures down about 2 points. Dow futures down 8. NASDAQ futures down 5 now. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 1.46%. The yield on the 2-year 0.24%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 37 cents at $73.29 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have a look at your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world on this mayoral election day. Michael.
That is true, Nathan. It is primary day in New York City, and this election is the first to pick a mayor ranked by choice voting. Eric Friedman is with the New York City's Campaign Finance Board.
It gives voters more say in who ends up winning elections, right? If your favorite candidate doesn't end up being the winner, by ranking somebody second, third, fourth, and fifth, you still have the opportunity to pick who does.
Friedman says voters have the opportunity to rank up to five candidates on the ballot. In the Democratic primary, 13 candidates are running, including frontrunner Eric Adams, who was not happy that Catherine Garcia and Andrew Yang campaigned together last Saturday.
It just sent the wrong message. It was on Juneteenth, a federal holiday that was just signed into law. They sent a signal, as you have all of the African-American and Hispanic candidates in the race. What message were you sending during this time that we're talking about? How do you empower various ethnic groups?
Adams spoke on CNN. The former sanitation chief responded.
My response is my message has been I want everyone to go out there and vote. I want them to use their ranked choice vote. 73% of New York City voted for ranked choice. I am very pro making sure every community has the right to vote.
Garcia also spoke on CNN. For the Republicans, Guardian Angels founder Curtis Sliwa is running against small business owner Fernando Mateo. Live coverage of the mayoral race begins at 7 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg. Senate Republicans are expected to block debate on an elections and voting bill. Democratic backers of the For the People bill say it's needed to protect voting rights. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Why is there such urgency? Because of what's been happening in Republican legislature after legislature in the last several months.
Schumer says in the evenly split Senate, Republicans are united in opposition. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Remember, the last presidential election saw the highest voter turnout in decades, even amid a once-in-a-century pandemic. And African-American turnout was twice as high in Mississippi as it was in Massachusetts.
McConnell called it a partisan power grab. Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib made history yesterday by becoming the first active player in NFL history to publicly announce that he is gay. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. A year ago, the Islanders won two series, then lost the conference finals to Tampa Bay in six games. Same thing could be happening. The Lightning won game five, 8-0. Steven Stamkos scored in the opening minute, later scored again. Alex Killorn scored twice. Braden Point scored for the eighth straight game. First to do that in the playoffs since 1976. Lightning had twice the number of shots on goal. They are 13-0 over the last two playoffs when coming off a loss. The Islander coach is Barry Trotz.
You want to get off to a good start. You want to manage the puck. We didn't manage the puck. And they turned it into some transition. And even the goals, the first couple of goals were sort of, you know, stuff that we turned the puck over and they came in and they shot the puck and it bounced off of people. It was just one of those nights.
Game six is tomorrow. It could well be the last Islander game ever at the Nassau Coliseum. In the wake of employees calling the Mets offices a toxic environment, the Mets completed a three-month investigation into its workplace and hiring practices, and owner Steve Cohen announced two longtime employees in legal and HR have left the organization. On the field, Jacob deGrom, as usual, dominant. No injury this time. He had been forced out early in each of his last two starts. Again, allowed no runs, only one hit. Mets beat the Braves 4-2. Atlanta gained the split, taking the nightcap 1-0. But deGrom's ERA is an historically low 0.50. Umpires checked his hat, glove, and belt for signs of a sticky substance as MLB began its crackdown. DeGrom was seen laughing about it. He passed the test. Gerrit Cole's been outspoken about the issue. He's on the mound for the Yankees tonight at the stadium against Kansas City. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson is back with us this morning. And, Dave, we got some news involving Google that you would think would weigh on the shares, has it?
And it has, but not all that much. You know, Google's owner Alphabet down about 0.25% in early trading. Google became the target of an antitrust investigation by the European Union. The probe will focus on whether the internet search service unfairly favors its advertising display technology over those of rivals. Then you have cryptocurrency-related stocks. They're lower as China met with banks and reiterated a ban on the digital currencies. Now, the move sent Bitcoin falling toward $30,000, which some analysts see as a key price level. Coinbase Global down 1.5% in early trading. MicroStrategy down 2.5%. Riot Blockchain also down 2.5%.
And just looking at Bitcoin right now, just shy of the 32,000 handle. We have some deal news as well, Dave.
Yeah, we do. Caterpillar's up 0.75%. The equipment maker reached a deal to supply electric vehicles for use at a Canadian graphite mine being developed by Nouveau Monde Graphite. Terms weren't disclosed. Sticking with that theme, though, Nikola's down 2%. The electric truck developer registered 18 million shares for one of its largest stockholders, Tumim Stone Capital. The move clears the way for a potential sale of the stake, which is about 4.5%. Looking at meme stocks, the movie theater owner AMC Entertainment down 2% in early trading. The video game retailer GameStop up 0.75%. And ContextLogic, the owner of shopping site Wish.com, up 3%. Some analyst calls of note, CrowdStrike Holdings up 1.5%. The security software maker was raised to buy from hold at Stifel. Fortune Brands Home and Security up 0.75%. The supplier of building products and security systems was raised to buy from hold at Loop Capital. And Ball Corp up 1.5%. The maker of aluminum cans and aircraft parts was raised to the equivalent of buy from hold at Atlantic Equities. And Plug Power's up 1%. The maker of fuel cell systems for industrial vehicles posted first quarter results. Revenue beat analysts' highest estimate in a Bloomberg survey. We're also due to get quarterly results from the consulting firm Korn Ferry before the opening bell.
All right. Sounds good. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. And taking a look at stocks as a whole, as we await the Tuesday morning open, little change for futures contracts. S&P futures now down 2 points. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures down 5.5 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 6/32nds. Yield 1.46%. Yield on the 2-year right now, 0.24%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. More scattered showers and storms possible today, going up to near 80 degrees. Sunshine tomorrow, upper 70s. Sunshine Thursday, upper 70s. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are little change this morning. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Futures are quiet right now after yesterday's big gains. Dow futures currently up 2 points. S&Ps are a little changed, and NASDAQ futures higher by 9. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.47%. Gold is little changed. Bitcoin slumps another 2.5%. And Japan rose 3.1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Richmond Fed and existing home sales. And at 2 o'clock, Fed's Powell faces Congress with inflation topping his agenda. In deal news, Dow Jones said that chicken producer Sanderson Farms is exploring a sale. And in other news, Amazon may be forced to sell its logistics services unit under antitrust legislation. Wrapping things up, Casey's was cut to neutral over at Goldman Sachs' CrowdStrike race to buy at Stifel with a price target of $300. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. An elections and voting bill supported by Democrats is all but certain to be rejected in a key Senate test vote. Backers of the For the People bill see it as the civil rights issue of the era, and they say it is needed to protect voting rights as states impose restrictive new laws. In the evenly split Senate, Republicans are united in opposition. New Yorkers will cast ballots today for a new mayor. The Democratic primary is garnering most of the attention, given that the winner of that contest will likely prevail in November. In the NHL, the Islanders are on the brink of elimination in the Stanley Cup Finals.
New York was handed their skates by the Lightning, 8-0 in Game 5. In Major League Baseball, the Mets split a doubleheader against the Braves. The Orioles and A's lost. In the NFL, Carl Nassib publicly announced that he is gay. The Raiders defensive end is the first active player in league history to come out. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tank, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Now it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include a bipartisan group of senators saying they are getting closer to an agreement on infrastructure. President Biden meeting with moderate senators and provoking some grumbling from progressives, and Republicans vowing to block that sweeping voting rights bill as it comes up for a vote in the Senate today. For more on all these stories, we are joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And Emily, let's start off, as we often have over the last few weeks, on infrastructure. Where do things stand?
So at this point, we're still looking at that bipartisan group of 21 senators and seeing what the details are for their proposal. Biggest question, Nathan, is how this gets paid for. They've put forward indexing a gas tax. President Biden has said no way, so it's now sounding like that is off the table. There is a lot of debate, though, about what could potentially replace it. Republicans don't want to do tax increases. One thing that the Biden administration is very much pushing is bolstering the IRS with the thought that a stronger IRS will be able to do more audits, more thorough audits, more complex audits of wealthy individuals and companies, and really make sure that they're getting money that should have been paid to the American people. Of course, there's a lot of debate about exactly how much money that would raise and how long it would take to raise that money. So that's not an idea that senators are embracing warmly, even as it is the preferred revenue stream from the White House.
The debate over all the minutiae of this infrastructure proposal has been going on for so long now, Emily, and we've seen reports just across the Bloomberg terminal this morning that White House aides are going to be back on Capitol Hill today for yet more discussions. What do we expect to come out of that?
That's a great question, Nathan. I mean, at this point, everyone's looking for some sort of clarity. They're looking for President Biden and the Biden administration to say, hey, we're supporting this bill for this group of 21, or you know what, Democrats need to go on and move at it alone. And so I think this is yet another opportunity for the White House to get with these senators to really understand plan. The group of senators met last night. They plan to meet again today and have some details fleshed out by the end of the week. Remember, after this Friday, they're gone on a two-week recess. So this is really go time for the senators and the Biden administration to figure out if they have an agreement that's workable here.
And I wonder if we're seeing some signs of that pressure building with these meetings that the White House says President Biden had just yesterday with a couple of very key moderate Democrats in the Senate, Joe Manchin, of course, and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona.
Yeah, Joe Biden met with both of those senators yesterday. They're moderate senators. They're considered key votes on whatever the White House decides to do. I mean, part of the reason that you haven't seen Democrats go ahead and start their own reconciliation process is because senators like Manchin and Sinema have been like, well, we won't support that. We need to see a good show of bipartisan faith and bipartisan efforts. So they're very much key players when it comes to this debate. At the same point, you are seeing a increasing pressure from progressives who are saying, hey, you know, we've looked at this plan that these 21 senators have put forward. We're not happy with it. We won't vote for it if it comes to the floor. And that also creates a bit of an issue. Remember that the goal is you need 60 senators to pass anything in the Senate. So if you have 10 Republicans and 50 Democrats and you lose a Democrat, you're going to have to find another Republican.
And that also raises the question of whether it would even be possible to pass something on a reconciliation basis where you'd only need a simple majority, just because that 50-seat majority in a 100-seat Senate is so tenuous.
Absolutely. And don't forget, I mean, the House only has a 4-seat majority. And that means that it would certainly be possible if a small group of members weren't happy with just even one provision in the bill, they could potentially sink something. And so Democrats are having to be very careful here in how they go forward, really listening to everyone in their caucus and trying to make sure everyone is on board for things. So it's not an easy balancing act, Nathan. And the fact of the matter is, even if Democrats decide tomorrow to go at it alone, it's still going to take several months for them to put together a reconciliation package. And time is very much of the essence and at this point beginning to run out.
And I know you're going to be watching later today as well in the Senate when Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's going to bring the For the People Act, that sweeping voting rights bill that passed in the House, up for a test vote. Republicans, though, have already said they're going to block this thing.
Right. So the strategy here is that if Republicans block the bill and all Democrats vote for it, this might be something that Democrats can use in the upcoming campaigns to really sort of highlight Republicans and try and hit them on voting rights. Big question, big thing to watch, once again, Joe Manchin. He is the only senator who has not co-sponsored the bill at this point. And while he put together his own list of suggestions for changes to the bill that have been embraced by some Democrats, there's a big question on whether he's going to vote yes or no on this test vote today. When he was asked last night, he said he was still undecided. And obviously things get more complicated for Democrats if they want to point the finger at Republicans and say, well, they didn't vote for this bill. That becomes more complicated if they also had a Democrat who did not vote for that bill.
So in our last 30 seconds here, Emily, how big a deal is this for President Biden for this bill to essentially, as we're expecting it, to die today when, you know, he's come out in really strong terms against Republican efforts in the states to limit voting rights?
This is something that is a very big priority for Democrats, and there are definitely going to be a lot of activists who are already blaming Biden for not having done enough here. But look, if you look at what the White House has been focusing on, it's undeniable that voting rights is important to them, but they are very much focused on this infrastructure package and passing that infrastructure package. And there is a sense that, you know, there's not really a path forward right now on a way to get those 10 Republicans on board or a way to eliminate the filibuster so Democrats can pass the bill on their own.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you for all this. Really appreciate it. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT, more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The World Health Organization is in talks to create the first ever technology transfer hub for coronavirus vaccines in South Africa. The move would boost supply to the continent that's desperately in need of COVID-19 shots. The new consortium will include drug makers BioVac and Afrigen Biologics and Vaccines, a network of universities, and the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They will develop training facilities for other vaccine makers to make shots that use a genetic code of the spike protein known as mRNA vaccines. Dozens of baby squid from Hawaii are in space for study. The baby Hawaiian bobtail squid were raised at the University of Hawaii's Kualo Marine Laboratory and were blasted into space earlier this month on a SpaceX resupply mission to the International Space Station. The Honolulu Star-Advertiser reports researchers are studying how spaceflight affects the squid in hopes of bolstering human health during long space missions. And Netflix has signed a multi-year deal with Steven Spielberg. The multi-film agreement with Spielberg's Amblin Partners builds on an existing relationship. Financial terms were not disclosed. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. S&P futures, little change this morning. Dow futures down 10. NASDAQ futures up about 8. And the 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 1.47%. Yield on the 2-year 0.24%. Bloomberg surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.